Joining us now, he's the director of golf down at Innisbrook, the Snake Pit, baby. Bobby Barnes joins us. Bobby, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. We've got a few things going on around here.
Yeah, did anything change when Tiger Woods announced he was coming? more ropes, more security. What'd you have to do?
Yeah, more napkins, more potta potties, more everything. I tell you what, it was incredible. The players had till 5 o'clock last Friday to sign up, and when we got the word about 9:30, I've never seen a buzz and word get through so fast. I had an emergency meeting that I went to across property, and in 5 minutes, people are driving by me in the car, screaming and yelling and screaming. It was pretty cool. It's got this whole city of Tampa in a buzz. Every restaurant I went to all weekend, everybody's talking about Tiger, Valspar, and the Copperhead. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was interesting that, maybe like a month ago we had heard the Honda and possibly the Valspar. So did you guys, did you have any inkling before he officially announced, or was that just take it as it comes?
Well, it was definitely something that we were all really paying attention to. The tournament director was talking to me weekly. We knew that a lot of variables a lot of things had to fall into place with his health and how he was playing. And it pretty much looked like it was going to have to be, I don't know that he signed on with Bay Hill or not, but we kind of thought that was probably going to happen. So we knew that we would be back-to-back for the second time before the Masters, and it seemed like a long shot. But the closer that we got, the more he wasn't saying no, the more we kind of had a good feeling. And not only did we get Tiger, but we got Jordan 10 minutes later after that. So having Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Tiger Woods is kind of a dream come true around here.
Yeah, this is, I think, the best, at least in terms of official world golf ranking and star power, the best field you guys have had as far back as we can remember. I'm curious, will the players see anything different about the course based on weather conditions last winter or coming into the spring? How is the course right now?
Well, the stars have really aligned because the golf course is in the best shape that it's probably ever been, best I've ever seen it. If you remember, in 2015, we restored the golf course, did a complete renovation, switched over to a Celebration Bermuda, put brand new Tiff Eagle on the green. So, we always say that a golf course, new turf, is going to take about 3 to 5 years to fully mature. And as I'm speaking to you guys right now, we're right in that third year. The greens to start the week are going to be rolling about a 12, and and we'll finish the week about 12.5, and the rough is going to be about 3.5 inches by Sunday. So we almost have U.S. Open type conditions out here. It's great.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's interesting. New turf, is not as root bound as turf that's been around for a long time. I'm curious, where on the course that's in play will players find the older turf and the deeper rooted turf?
Well, hopefully they didn't see it at all, because we did a complete renovation wall-to-wall, tees, fairways, rough, greens. We U.S. spec'd them. We dug them out 18 inches and built them back up with drainage for the first time. So it is a brand-new golf course in every sense of the word. We do overseed the golf course due to the amount of play that it gets, so we've got a rye Bermuda grass down for overseed, which really makes it pop. But the greens, as cold of a January as we had, we probably had the warmest February that we've ever had. So we went a little dormant in January, and then it's, without the humidity, it's almost been like summertime conditions. So the golf course has responded well, and like I said, it is in phenomenal shape, and it just looks spectacular. The feedback from all the players so far has been unbelievable.
Yeah, so if you have U.S. Open conditions and possibly U.S. Open rough, but it's fairly new turf, does that mean guys are going to be able to swing right through it without worrying about catching their club?
I think the golf course is going to be very receptive, really fair. In all honesty, the very first year we had it, the greens were a little bumpy. They were a little bit slow. So year two was pretty good. And now as we hit, like I said, year three, the next 2-3 years are going to be, just prime conditions. And, the turf has responded really well. Like I said, the Celebration turf is really responded well for our tree-lined fairways and just the climate here. And then when you put that rye overseed down, It's really the best of all worlds. It's really playing nice and true and consistent, and it's going to be a good challenge for the guys. Hitting the fairway is going to be a premium. It always is. It's a Copperhead with all the trees, but again, now you add the rough, and I'm predicting a single digit winner, maybe an 8-9 under.
Yeah, I was during the break. I was singing "O Canada" for these guys after Adam Hadwin won last year. It seemed like he kind of hung on down the stretch, shooting even par 71. Everybody else was kind of making a little bit of a run up the leaderboard. But so what I'm hearing from the way the golf course is looking like it's going to set up. I mean, last year Jim Herman shot 62 in the opening round, 9 under par. You're telling me you don't see that this year, huh?
I really don't see that. I mean, it's always possible out there. I remember the year that Padraig Harrington set the course record at 61. I feel like he might have finished, and that was 10 under, and I feel like he might have finished -4 or -5 at the end of the week. So, there's a good score every once in a while to be had out there. But, the wind usually dictates if we get the normal winds that we get, it's really hard to shoot those kind of scores. I believe that day that happened. There's usually a really calm wind. So we'll see. I think the golf course is going to play probably tougher than it's ever played. Like I said, to start the week at 12, to get to 12.5 on stemp on the greens, and then to have this kind of rough, you're really going to have to be consistent off the tee and hit a lot of greens to score that. But, these guys are that good, and they proved to do that. As you mentioned, Adam Hadwin. Mr. 59, I guess if anybody can do it, it's him.
Again, we're talking with Bobby Barnes, the director of golf, down at the Snake Pit at Innisbrook, down in Palm Harbor, Florida. And Bobby, I always ask this of golf professionals and directors of golf when they have a tournament coming out there. We all know that at our local golf course, there's always that one hole that seems to just stick in our craw. And we think about that one shot that we got to hit all day. What's that shot for you out at this golf course? The one that you just go, man, if I could just get by this shot, I can shoot a good number today.
Yeah, there's a few of them out there. And I think, when I think about the tournament, we were just talking about Adam Hadwin. I mean, number 16 last year, when you think about how well he was playing and then you hit number 16, the first hole of the Snake Pit, you might actually say we might have three of them. But 16 in particular, with the shot, the scary shot off the tee with the water on the right and the woods on the left, it was a lot of people forget that he plopped that in the water and double bogeyed number 16, and suddenly it was anybody's race. And he really did a good job of coming in and winning the golf tournament. But I think 16, when you start the Snake Pit, it always ranks up in the top five toughest holes on the golf course. And, if you're going to save a really good tee shot, you got to save it for number 16 to the end of the Snake Pit. And an 18, no picnic either. So those would probably be my two.
Well, and it's interesting because we all talk about the Snake Pit, those last 3.5, if you want to talk about the snake bite as part of it. But those really rank as like your 10th, on average, those are like 10th handicap holes. They're not the 10th hardest holes on the course. Why do those give people so much trouble if they're only ranking at like 10 or 10.2 in terms of difficulty?
Yeah, it's just, it's a grind. I think 16 is definitely one. You make a good point because number 5 on the front, it's a par 5. A lot of the tour players tell me that play is one of the trickiest par fives that they play all year. You got to go straight up the hill. You got to hit 2 really precise shots, second one being blind, and then, the green's no picnic either. So, the Copperhead is just one of those golf courses that rewards good shots. And, we've had winners that are long on tour. You think about Gary Woodland, even Mark Kalkulik back in the day, and then the golf course doesn't care how far you hit it. You've got guys like Jim Furyk and Luke Donald too that can win. It's just, it rewards good shot making. And so whether it's a number 10 handicap hole or not, if you don't hit the fairway and you don't hit the green, any number is possible.
Yeah, and we Hadwin, we remember from 16 because it's so recent, but historically, where are we going to see guys implode? I mean, I hate to focus on the negative, but I do like it. So when we're watching along, where can we hope to see guys? Hope is probably the wrong term, but where will we see guys fall apart?
Yeah, it's like that train wreck. You just can't look away. I tell you, hole 13. It's not the waste management hole, but we do have the Hooters Owl's Nest right there. in between 12 green and 13 tee box, I think about a couple of years ago, and Ian Poulter dumped it in the water there, and the crowd got on him, and it was, you could see that it shook him. And so they just feed off that, and then the next day it came in on Sunday and hit in the water again, and everybody was going crazy, and he just kind of laughed it off. But I think 13 is one of those holes that that can jump up and bite you, particularly on Sunday, because that pin's always in the back right corner. And if you're in a position on Sunday where you're trying to make a move, it makes you go with that pin, and that's really easy to make a double. So if I had to guess, besides the snake bit, I'd say 13. Could be that casualty of war that we might see.
All right, Bobby, when we started this interview, we talked about Tiger Woods. How's this golf course going to set up for him? I mean, what we've seen so far out of him, I mean, obviously, he's only played really on difficult golf courses. This sounds like it's definitely going to be another one in terms of the rough and the conditions. How's this going to set up for him? I've been saying all along that I think, you know, Tiger in his comeback this time, I think I would rather see him hit more straight shots. I mean, he tends to be a guy that if the pin's in the back right corner, he's going to try and hit one down the left side and then cut one back into that pin placement. How's this course set up for somebody that likes to move the ball as much as he does?
Well, I'm optimistic for him. I think that it'd be real easy to say that Tiger's not going to do well on this golf course because it really puts a premium on hitting the fairways. And, you know, it's as good as the comeback has been. You know, when he struggles, it usually tends to be missing the fairways. So, But I tell you what, I don't think you really need to hit driver on a lot of these holes, particularly for him. So, you know, I'm really curious to see what the discipline level is because he's hit such a good stinger two iron off the tee. And I really think if he's got the discipline to really stick with that club, leave the driver in the bag, except for maybe in a couple of the par fives, then I start to see him be a favorite. But it'll be interesting to see which Tiger that we see this week.
All right. Well, again, you're saying single digits, right? What's the winning number? Is it going to be 9 or is it lower than that?
I think it's 9 under this year. We'll see. We're predicting some rain on Sunday, possibly. I'm hoping that they're wrong or that's a little bit off. That would definitely soften up the golf course. But you know, I think if the winds are like they normally are with the rough. And just the excitement of the field. I mean, when Roy and Tiger and George, that kind of gets everybody up. You know, all the players know that there's going to be a lot of attention and media, and I just think it kind of raises everybody's game. But it'll be interesting to see. Mother Nature will definitely have a say in that. If we do get a lot of rain on Saturday, they're even predicting some on Wednesday. It might soften up the golf course, but if the winds are up, you know, I'm going to stick with 9 under. I think 9 under gets it done this year.
All right. Well, Bobby, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate you coming on with us and talking to you, and we'll be looking forward to a great tournament.
All right, guys. Thanks for the coverage, and we look forward to talking to you again.